Blog Talk Radio. This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
I meet you in the shadow of my wings. I will. I meet you in the wildest of your dreams. I will. Winter's gone. Spring is now coming.
Good Tuesday morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to the Healing Light Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ken Burrow, and this morning, a very special lady is our guest, Dr. Mary Prince. I met her, I think, back in 2011 or 2012. I can't remember exactly. And her and my wife became fast friends, and I became friends with her, and it's been awesome to know her. She has spoken life to me many, many times, and also to my wife. And one of the things that she has always said ever since we met her is, you know, people go on, I love that person to death. I just love him to death. And she says it differently. She says, I love you to life, which is a much more positive way of saying I love you. So, loving us to life this morning is our guest, Dr. Mary Prince. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Apostle Prophet Ken Burrow. It's a pleasure and an honor to be your guest on your show. I thank you, and I thank my sister TJ for having me. How are you this morning?
I'm healthy, happy, terrific, blessed going in, blessed going out. Can't complain in any way, shape, manner, or form, but I thank you for the inquiry.
Amen, amen. That's good to hear.
I believe in positive profession, if you know what I mean.
That's
it's
right.
For
That's
me.
Right. Amen, amen. That's where
Nobody
it should
is.
Be.
I get a kick out of people when they ask me that in person. They just look at me like, What did you say? And why'd you say it so fast? I've been doing it for 35 years. That's why.
Because you know what you're saying.
Got it memorized.
Amen. You know what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am.
You slow it down for him if need be.
Yes, ma'am. It is, like I said, it's an honor to have you as a guest this morning.
Thank you, sir.
There have been times that I've had to reach out to you just for my own spiritual growth and my own understandings. And you've been awesome in those days. I tell people all the time, I'm very, very blessed to have about four prophets in my life that I can actually reach out and talk to when I want to. When you're in the ministry, it's hard to find people that you can reach out to, talk to, and trust, if you know what I'm saying.
Amen.
And you happen to be one of those. So thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Mary. So tell me, what's on your heart today?
I'm honored. Iron sharpens iron.
You're wanting to sharpen iron. Iron sharpens iron. Come on, talk to me. Tell me what's going on.
Iron sharpens iron. And I truly thank you for, it's an honor, and I'm humbled that you feel that way about me. And being in the ministry, we need that. We truly, truly need that. Especially,
amen,
you know, someone that's transparent, someone that's going to speak truth and speak God, not from a place of being a yes person, but a God person. And that's going to listen to God and speak directly from the throne of grace and give it to you the way that God will give it to you, in a way of not to tear you down, but to build you up.
That's right.
Yeah. Jesus did it. You know, the apostles did it, from Genesis to Revelation. So that's what we need in the body of Christ. You know, that's what we need. You know, when I say I love you to life, that's what I mean. I love you to life. And when I say that, when the Holy Spirit gave that to me, because when you're in the body of Christ, there is no death. There is no death, because I used to say I love you to death, and the Holy Spirit had to check me. He said, "Are you saved?" I said, "Yes." Where are you when you close your eyes, you're coming to me. There is no death in me, and if you are part of me, and the person that you are speaking to is a part of me, there's no death, because I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. So there is no death in me.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
That's true. But you have to be first. You have to be a part of the body. Outside of the body, you know, you have to be a part of the body. You have to be a part of His. You have to be a part of the body.
So I agree again with you. Let me ask you this question. What is the predominant thing that God has put on your heart for a time such as this?
I'm so glad you asked me that, because that's where we're at. All of us are living in such a time as this. You know, I used to say, I wished I lived in the time that Jesus walked the earth with the disciples. You know, I wish I could see him, walk with him, you know, did what the disciples did, and the Holy Spirit had to check me. During the time that I'm in, difficulty times, and, you know, times I had to pull away and be with him alone, times, challenging days, the Holy Spirit had to share with me, look, you are living in the time dispensation that God had already planned, because he know the plans that he has for our life. So because he know the plan that he has for our life, we are living in the time such as this for our life. So we are living in this time so that we can speak about the Lord. They was living in that time so that they can speak about the Lord. So we have to do what we have been called to do in our time. And in our time, we have to lift the name of the Lord up so that he can draw all men unto him. There
Amen.
Is no star in Jesus. There is no superstar on this earth. The only stars is the ones when we look up to the heavens and we see in the sky. There is no little person in the Lord. We all are equal in the eyesight of God. So we all have a purpose on this earth, and we have to do what we have been called to do. So in this time, time such as this, we have to do what we have been called to do. Regardless of what it is, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, what is my purpose in this for this time? What is it that I've been called to do? And do it. Do what Mary told the servants to do at the party at Canaan, at the wedding at Canaan. He told them, said, just do it. Whatever he told you to do, do it. Just do it. So that is the time in which we're living in, such a time as this. So all of us is at that place. I'm at that place, you're at that place, and anybody that, and everybody that is living, you know, you're at that place. The housewife, she's at that place. The teacher is at that place. Even the children, they're at that place. Because now we have children that's speaking out, and they're preaching, and they're saying things. They're seeing things in dreams. The Lord will use whomever he wants to use to get his word out for such a time as this.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I have noticed over the last 6-7 months how God is using very young children and senior citizens.
Yes, 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 sir.
It's like he's got them on both ends here, and everybody else in the middle is getting fed because of the call that he's put on the children and on the senior citizens. I have seen more and more people in that age group prophesying the truth of Jesus to others.
Yes.
Speaking words of knowledge out of children.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. and it warms my heart when I see that happening. But I have also noticed, Mary, that the middle group, a lot of people mm-hmm. out there have no idea what their calling is or what their giftings are. And I tell everybody, because you and I both know it's true, that everyone has a call in their life.
Yes.
And everybody has giftings. They
yes.
may not have come to the knowledge of what that is yet, but there is a call in their life. And God never changes his mind. The Bible says
no.
That the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. The King
mm-hmm.
James Version says without repentance. But the point of the matter is, he does not change his mind.
Nope.
Yeah, I tell people all the time.
Forever.
I tell people all the time, you ought to be thankful that God does not work on what we feel. Our emotions have nothing to do with what God wants in this earth. And I'm thankful for that because I've had my ups and downs emotionally. There's times in my mm-hmm. life I wonder, Jesus, did I do something wrong? How come I'm not hearing from you like I was? Or you know, things like that. I mean, I went through after my father passed away, I fell into a depression. Well, the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. don't like hanging out with depression. Okay. I'll tell you
mm-hmm.
that straight up. It's not part of his nature, but God never changed his mind about
no,
my calling.
Didn't.
God never changed his mind about the gifts he gave me. In fact, what he has done is he's actually, as I came out of that depression, I got healed physically, I got healed emotionally, and God poured more gifts into my life. You know, I think we're at, since May 5th of this year, I think we're getting close to 280, 290 healing miracles, and the majority of them over the internet and over the telephone. So he's actually increased things in my life.
Amen.
But, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I want to hear from God. I want to know what God's will is beyond my own understanding. So I'm thankful for people like the prophets that are in my life, like you and others, who will guide me and direct me, because everybody needs guidance and direction. But I think what we all need to know, without a doubt in my mind, is that we do have a calling on our life. And if you go forward, you know, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered. As long as you're taking those steps towards God, God will direct you into your calling. Do you agree with that or what?
Yes.
Good.
And the the problem is, like you said, the middle age group, they need ones that's transparency. We have preachers that are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good.
Come on.
And they're not showing themselves as being transparent. And so you have young people that saying, you know, they're fake, they're phony. They preach one thing, but they do something totally different. And that's true in the body of Christ, you know, or they'll say, you know, they're hypocrites. They're nothing but hypocrites in the church. Well, that's where they need to be, in the church, because where else they're going to be saved? Where else are they going to go to show them that they are hypocrites? So they need to be in the church. But what the eyes need to be is off of them, and your eyes need to be on Christ and on the teaching. You know, eat the meat and throw away the bones. Stop looking at other people and hear God. The Lord says this. Look, he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger will not follow. So it only takes but a little. He said, look, if you have a faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain, and the mountain going to be moved. But what's going on now in the body of Christ is that young people feel that, you know, they are doing things. They like clubbing. They like, you know, going to the movies or whatever. They feel that they can't do some of the things that they like to do. They feel that they got to give up a whole lot of things because, you know, they're going to church and they got to give up this, they got to give up that, but for Jesus. So the enemy has put a trick them to believe that they got to give up more and Jesus is less. It reminds you of the story of the rich man that, you know, and Jesus told him to sell everything and follow him, you know. And he said, you know, yeah, I knew this, and I've been doing this since I was a youngster. What can I do to be saved? And the Lord said, well, give up everything, sell everything, give it up, give it to the poor, and follow me. And he was the only one in the Bible that went away from him sorrowfully, saddened, because in his heart he felt that his riches was more important to him than the Lord. He had more than Jesus had, because he was looking on the outside. He was looking with his eyes, his natural eyes, and not looking with spiritual eyes. And that's where we fall short. Because
that's
if
true.
He would have followed Jesus, Jesus would have opened up his eyes. And so we don't give Jesus a chance, you know, so young people don't give Jesus a chance because they are looking through their natural eyes and they're feeling so turned off by the Lord because they feel that all their fun going to be gone when in all actuality, their fun have not even begun because we have so fun in the body of Christ.
It's true.
We have so much fun
in
the body
of
Christ.
I've had more fun in the last 6 months of my life than I've had in my entire life. And my life has been good because I've been blessed by God. But it is absolutely amazing. It is a lot of fun to pray and see people get healed.
Yes!
I'm like a kid in a candy store every time. I stand in awe every time he does something miraculous. Right before my eyes. I mean, I've seen so many things over the last 6 months that there's too many to even go into at this point. But each and every one of them brings a tremendous amount of joy and awe. Just, I stand in awe each and every time. And I am learning as I go that God will do things the way God wants to do that I don't really have anything to do with it. You don't really have anything to do with it. It's all the Holy Spirit. And you can't put him in a box.
No.
Because he don't operate that way. He does.
No.
I saw a person here a few weeks ago, and I probably mentioned him every show over the last four or five shows, but that man got instantly healed without one word of prayer.
That's
not
it.
One word. All I did was put a dot of oil on his forehead, and the evangelist and I looked down. He had one leg shorter than the other by 7 inches. Instantly healed.
Come on.
Now, that's fun. I don't care who you are. When you see something like that, I end up doing a Holy Ghost jig and just praising God, because praising God is fun. Serving God is fun. You know, I was an alcoholic for many, many years. And I remember one time, Before I got healed and delivered, I thought, you know, I was going to lose all the fun that I had. I was going to lose all my friends, and I wouldn't have any fun anymore because I can't, you know, because you quit drinking, you can't party anymore, and party's fun. But the truth of the matter is, ever since he took that alcohol away from me, I've had more fun being sober and serving God than I ever did in all the years that I was drinking.
Amen. Amen.
And I am beyond thankful that he took all that away from me. I am so happy to serve him at a time such as this, because as we talked before the radio show came on, you know, we are in the last days.
That's
ladies
right.
and gentlemen, pay close attention. You don't have to be a rocket surgeon to understand that. Yeah, I said rocket surgeon. to understand that we are in the season. Yes, the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, not even Jesus himself. But we do know the season.
Exactly.
And the season is upon us. All we have to do is look at the world, look at what's happening. It grieves my heart to see people getting killed left and right for just evil reasons. No real reason except somebody being evil. And and death has increased tremendously since 2011. I saw a video back in February of 2011 of the rider on the pale horse in Egypt. If you haven't ever seen that, it's remarkable.
I
told
you
people I said back then, this is a sign of what we're headed to. Now, since then, everything that the Bible says about the rider of the pale horse is happening more and more and more and more and more. More deaths, more deaths, more deaths, more deaths, more deaths, more war. It amazes me, you know. I was called to preach at a very young age, and of course I ran from it because a lot of people do, but God never changes his mind. His calling and gifts are irrevocable. But at a young, tender age of 13 and 14 years old, the very first thing I ever studied was the end times. It's just the way it just happened. And now I sat back here, you know, 50 some odd years later, and I've watched it come to fruition. And I just need to let people, I think we all need to let people know that, listen, number one, Jesus Christ is real. He is returning.
Yes.
And the choice is up to you to either be part of it or to be put out.
Yes.
And the thing is, being part of it, you know, I joke around all the time. I say, you know, I joke about it, but it's also very true. You know, Jesus and the devil are the absolute opposites.
Yes.
Okay. The devil is death. Jesus is life. Devil's good. Mm-hmm. Devil is evil. Jesus is righteousness and holiness. And I could go down the list and go down the list and go down the list. But the point of the matter is, we have a choice to either be on the right side and spend eternity with Jesus Christ or go to hell. And I know that's not always politically correct in these days to be talking about those things. But the truth of the matter is, the door is going to close for our opportunity to know him. That day is coming sooner than most of us think.
He said it in the Bible with the 10 virgins.
Yeah, you know.
Five got
have
in.
Have your oil lamp. And five
got
didn't.
To get the oil filled. And when they came back, the door, the bridegroom had closed the door. They weren't ready. Door was shut. And now it's time for us to get ready.
Amen.
You know, it's time now for us to get ready. It's time for the church to wake up. It's time for God's people to wake up and get up. The harvest is plentiful. The labors are few. And the Bible tells us to pray to the Lord that he will send labors for the harvest. You know?
Yes.
So, yes. We need to get out there. We need to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's up to them. They have a choice. You know, they have that old saying, you can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. Because they have a free will. God is not going to take our will away from us. They have a free will. Because God is a God of a, like you said, he's a God of a choice. But he don't give you multiple choices. He give you a choice, but not multiple choices.
Yeah, and I believe that.
First, you gonna go left or you gonna go right?
And I also believe that, unfortunately, that many believers these days are lukewarm. Not on fire for God like they should be. And
no,
they know
he going to spit out if you look more.
No, I don't want to be spit out. And
not
I
make
you
up your mind. He's going to spit
right.
You out.
And being on fire for God is not a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You make
but the
God
thing about
preeminent.
It, even if you have a spark. Because I look at a spark, and this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. Even if you have a spark is almost just like a seed of faith. Jesus told Peter, he said, look, I'm praying for you that your faith fail you not. He's interceding for us right now that our faith fail us not. And he told Peter, he said, look, when you've been converted, he said, go and strengthen your brothers. So a spark, even if we have a spark in darkness, that spark would give enough fire that it would ignite someone else that's dry. If you're in a forest and it's dry and you have a spark of fire, it would set that forest on fire. And
yes.
It will continue to go and grow and grow and grow and grow. Even if we have a spark, but we have to have something. Moses had a stick. He had one stick. God used it. Because he said, my mouth, he said, I stutter, I can't use my mouth. God said, okay, Jesus said, all right, I'll give you a stick.
Yes.
He will allow us to have something. He said, look, what is that in your hand? Because he's not going to allow us to, as we say, punk out. As Gideon did. He was trying to punk out. And Jesus said, nope, not going to take no for your answer. Nope. You going to fight.
What would you say to people who know they have a calling on their life, who know they're supposed to serve God, but they have not yet been able to determine what the call is, have not yet been able to come to a clear understanding of what steps they need to take? What advice would you give people like that?
I'll tell them to, first of all, pray. Ask God. And not only ask him, wait. Because sometimes we, as people, we have this microwave mentality. We pray and we get up and we say, oh, okay, he ain't say nothing. And we don't wait on the Lord and allow him to answer us. Allow the Holy Spirit to answer. To give us an answer. And 9 times out of 10, we just have not identified and activated what we already know. And I'll tell people this because I have been asked this. I said, what are you good at? Look at what you're good at. I remember growing up and people will always ask me to read the obituary at funerals. Stand up and read the cards at funerals. I did not understand that. I was like, why? What? I want to stand up and read in front of all these people? Let them read it silently and say amen. But God was preparing me to stand in front of a multitude and read.
Yes. Yes.
If I have to stand in front of a multitude or sit in front of one person. But he was preparing me. So what is it that you like to do? Look at that. Ask God, is it this? I love money. I love counting money. I love being around money. We have a gift of help. I love helping people. Then ask God, is that my purpose? Do I supposed to help people? Okay, which people? Is it the elderly? Is it the young people? He will show, because it's whatever you're doing, that's what you've been called to do.
Very
that
good.
Is pretty much your purpose in life. Because it's going to fulfill the ultimate purpose, and that is to give God the praise. We was placed on this earth to praise him. And in our obedience, because obedience is better than a sacrifice.
Come on.
We are praising him. Because in our obedience, people are being saved. And they will see that. Because they will see the transparency of us. That, look, we have sinned. We have fallen short in areas. The Bible says a righteous man falleth 7 times, but he get back up again. They will see that we're human just like they are. And the love of God, they ultimately, they will see the love of God in us. so that they can fulfill their purpose like we are fulfilling our purpose. They will see that they do have a purpose. And God had knitted that in them before he even knitted them in their mother's womb. God had predestined their lives even before there was even a day, as Psalms 139 says.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I knew you. He already
before
knew
you were in the womb. Yep.
Come on.
You know, you were mentioning earlier about, you know, kind of wishing that you had might been able to live during the time of the apostles of Jesus on this earth. And, you know, that same thought crossed my mind too. But in reality, I am so excited to be alive at a time such as this, where we can love people to life, where we get to usher in the return of the King. Glory, hallelujah. That is such an exciting time to be alive.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I have the gift of words of knowledge. I don't get as much prophecy as many of my friends do. But there's one thing I do know in my heart, that this next year, we're coming up on 2020, this year is going to be, without a doubt in my mind, for the followers of Jesus Christ, for those who believe and seek after him to fulfill the desires of their hearts, God is going to turn things around. And, you know, there's over 8,500 promises in the Bible, but each and every one of them are yes and amen. And he said that he was going to provide for us in a way that we could use the sources that he gives us to build the kingdom. It's going to be a fantastic year. I know that God has prophesied personally to me that, you know, a certain amount of money was coming into my life. Money to me is nothing but a tool.
Okay? Yes.
It's no different than a screwdriver or a hammer. If you use it properly, then the tool will work. If you don't, it won't. But to know that he is going to turn things around in such a way that we will be able to open to those who don't know the kingdom of God, to help people to come to know Jesus. I have a vision in my heart. I call it the show and tell. That's what I tell the Lord. That's what I want to do, Lord. Show and tell. You know, he's given me gifts of healing, but that gift, you know, all the gifts of God, with the exception of one, are given to us to give away. Freely we receive, freely we must give.
Amen.
He gives those gifts so we can show others the reality of Jesus. The only gift that is not that is given to us not to give away is speaking in tongues, because that's to edify us and to enrich and build our intimate relationship with him. But with these gifts that God has given, to see the miracles that I have been seeing, and I know that you see a lot of them too. Our good friend James Kithcart, Dr. Kithcart, he's another one who sees a lot of miracles too. And it amazes me, even though the three of us don't talk that much together, but when we do talk, we always end up talking about the same things.
Yes.
And to me, that's exciting. So I believe in 2020 that show and tell is going to really happen for more and more people. I know it's happening already, because I have a friend 10 miles from me who's seen the same kind of miracles I'm seeing. And I know there's many people across this country and across the world where God is just doing miracle after miracle after miracle, just as Jesus himself did. You know, he healed them all. There'd be a multitude out there. He healed them all. And the reason he did that was so he could say, I am showing you these things so you will know of the kingdom. And I believe that's what he's going to do in 2020, more than he's done in history, is more and more people are going to step into their understanding of their calling and step into their gifting, because that will draw people in. When you see somebody who's been in a wheelchair for 20 years and all of a sudden they stand up, you can say, see her standing up. Guess who did that? Mm-hmm. Jesus. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about Jesus.
Yes, yes, I truly believe that. But the Bible tells us those that believe, signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. So we walk in the supernatural naturally. When we follow him, he says signs and wonders shall follow those that believe. So this should be happening to us anyway.
Amen.
Anyway. Absolutely. When it's not happening, something is wrong. That's
so true.
That's the thing that's off kill, that's out of balance when it's not happening. Blind eyes should be opening, deaf should be hearing, mute should be speaking, lame should be walking. Why? Because Jesus did it. He said, and greater works.
That's right, greater. Come on.
Greater works. So these things should be done anyway in the name of Jesus. And it's not just for the ones that's on the television. It's not just for one or two. But it's for the housewife to lay hands. It's for the college student to lay hands. It's for the little young boy in fifth grade to lay hands. It's not even for them to lay hands. It's for them to open up their mouth and speak. Because Jesus didn't even go anywhere when the centurion soldier came about his servant. He said, all you have to do is speak, and I believe that it's done. So it's just speaking it. So we're supposed to be walking in the supernaturally, naturally anyway. Why? Because we just believe. It's only if we believe.
It's, you know,
that's
he gave us. He gave us the, when he died on that cross, you know, I tell people all the time, when Jesus died on that cross for your salvation, you believe that, right? And yeah, I got no problem believing that. And I said, well, why do you have a problem believing he heals? Because on that same day, he healed us. Because by his stripes, we are healed. He gave us the power of attorney to use his name and command healing, not ask for it. I hear people, well, dear Lord, if it be thy will, please heal this person. He already did it. Why are you asking him to do something he already did? Just chase that devil
because
out.
Then that person, the person that's praying is not believing. They don't believe. So if the person don't get healed, then they'll put it on Jesus. Well, it wasn't in his will to heal you. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen. And another thing, you know, it kind of bothers me that it happens, and it does happen, but, you know, I hear all the time, well, you must be a special vessel of God. And I just like, what? What are you talking about? We're all the same. God is not a respecter of persons. I believe everybody has the same rights that you and I have, the same power that you and I have, if we choose to walk in it.
Exactly.
Okay? Most people don't want to walk in it. It amazes me why, you know, it's like Christians with unforgiveness. It blows my mind how many people I run into that have unforgiveness in their heart.
Oh, yes.
It's
that's
like,
a big
what?
One right there. The big one.
It's one I preach on a lot, let me tell you, because that is probably one of the biggest lies from hell that will keep you out of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Is unforgiveness, but that could be a whole different show, and I don't want to go there right now. But I do want to stay. I do want to stay on this thing that each and every one of us have the authority in Jesus Christ to pray for each other. I have people ask me all the time, you know, several friends will get online with me and say, well, what do I have to do to see God heal people in my own personal life, my own prayers, my own ministry? And I say, well, first of all, get rid of the gray matter between your ears because you have nothing to do with it. I have nothing to do with it. It's all Jesus. All you have to do is believe the word of God and command the sickness to leave. Command. And even that isn't always 100%, because as I said before, that man a few weeks back in October, excuse me, got healed before I ever prayed. All I did was put oil on his forehead instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
which proves my point. It has nothing to do with us. It all has to do with believing that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Believing his word over your own thinking. Because
that's it.
I remember when I first started praying for people to get healed, fear was a major factor. I was always afraid. Well, what if nothing happens? Or what if they reject me? But what if nothing happens? And I've learned to go, but what if something does happen?
Come
Praise
on.
God if it does.
Come on.
I tell
Come
people
on.
All the time, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You have to be willing to risk your faith to see results. And I have seen many results, and I can't tell you how many times when I was in fear, after I stepped into it, the fear absolutely went away, and God's
That's
will
it.
Was done. You know,
because God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind.
Yeah, and he tells us 365 times in the Bible, do not fear. That's one for every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if God tells you something once, you better pay attention. If he tells you twice, you better heed. And if he tells you 365 times, you better believe. Hey, I like that. That sounded good.
Come on. All we have to do is believe. Believe, and keep on believing. Don't stop doubting. Keep on believing. Because once we stop believing, the enemy will come back with that same disease or that same ailment or whatever and try to put it in your head. You ain't healed. You're not delivered. You're not this. You're not that. And then end up bringing that same thing back on you, because that's how he worked. He would bring old news and try to make it new news. And it's, as Trump say, fake news. It's fake. It's fake. It's phony. That's fake news that he's bringing.
Yeah.
It's fake news. But that's how Satan work. And when we have to, as Jesus loved us to life, that he laid down his life. He said, look, you're not taking my life. That's what he told Pontius Pilate. Look, you ain't taking my life, dude. Let me share something with you. See, I'm transparent. This is the way I flow. You're not taking my life. I'm laying my life down. The same way I lay it down, I'm going to pick it up again. And that's what he did. He laid it down. He told a young man on his right, look, he said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. Before he left, he said, look, Father, forgive them. They mocked him, cursed Adam. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He looked at his mother. He looked at John, his disciple. He made sure his mother was straight. Then he gave up the spirit. And then after 3 days, he was he resurrected. He got up. He did what he had to do. And that same Jesus, because he loved us to life, he said, look, I give life. He's a life giver. And that's why we have to love our sisters and our brothers to life, not just the ones in the church. Because the Bible said, look, he said, we just love the ones that love us. That's not nothing. Even the heathens do that. But
right.
We have to love those that don't love us. We have to be good to those and pray for those. that curse us out, that don't want to have nothing to do with us. We got to continue to pray for them and lift them up and speak blessings on them and just tell God to continue to bless them and be transparent with them. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Because that's loving a person for life. Because people are not listening to what we're saying. They're looking at what we're doing.
Amen.
And that's going to show the love. That's
amen,
what
amen.
They see Jesus in that. They see Jesus in you when they see Jesus healing them. They say, praise the Lord. They don't say, oh, praise Ken. Ken, we praise you. Because you have stopped them in their track. Oh, no, you won't.
Uh-uh. No.
Praise me. You praise Jesus.
Come on.
Praise
all
the Lord.
Glory,
oh, no, you won't. Paul and Barnabas went through the same thing. They said, no, he's a God. They said, oh, no, no, no. We are not gods.
Nope.
But this is loving someone to life. Because we want to tell them about the God that we serve. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. The good shepherd, the Anonai.
Yes. Come on, come on.
The Rose of Sharon. The Counselor. Jehovah Jireh. The one that will provide for you. The one that will give you such peace. People would look at you and like, you should be going crazy. You should be depressed. He said, no, my Father Jesus has given me such peace that surpasses my understanding. That's why you can't understand it, because I don't understand it.
Come on.
But this daddy, that's Adonai. That's him. And
amen.
That's how. Bring them in.
Wow,
that's
Mary,
how
this
save in.
Mary, my friend, this hour has just flown. I just looked up, saw we only have a few minutes left.
Amen.
I did want to touch on one more thing and get your opinion and advice on it. Recently, over the last 6 months, God has really been working on me. You know, I've always loved people. I can't help but love people. But one of the things he's been teaching me is to look at people through the eyes of Jesus. Much easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he has already shown me examples of how I should do that. And why I should do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had one guy just cussing up a storm. Every other word was JD and JC and this and that. And he was just acting crazy. But that same person ended up getting healed. That same person ended up coming back in his right mind and seeking God. But what the day I saw him, I saw somebody taking my Lord's name in vain. I saw somebody acting crazy. And God said, be kind. So I was kind.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But what I should have seen was the healed, delivered, back in his right mind person. Am I making
That's
any sense?
Right. Oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I believe that as Christians, if we all took the time to even attempt to look at others through the eyes of Jesus, we would be far more effective in our own personal ministry, in our own personal walk, in our own personal calling, and in our own personal gifting if we learned how to do that. Go ahead. Tell me what you think on that.
Amen. Selah.
Amen.
That's true. We have to. That's how the Lord look at it. He said, look, I know the plans that I have for your life. So if he know the plan that he have for our life, he know the plan that he have for the other person's life that we're looking at. Because we got to understand, when we look at that person and that person is acting a certain way, that's not that person. That's a spirit that's talking. That's a cursing spirit. That's a manipulation spirit. We need to come against the spirit and not the person. That's looking through the eyes of Christ. Come against the spirit. Jesus always dealt with the spirit in the man and not the man. He dealt with that even with Peter. He told Peter, when he was talking to his disciples, and he told his disciples, who do man say that I am? And all of them looked around. Well, some of them say you different. Some of them say you Isaiah. And some of them say you do this and that. And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. He said, you know what? Man couldn't tell you that. That came straight from the Father. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You keep reading on down. And then Jesus said, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and this is what's going to happen to me. And then Peter said, wait a minute, hold up. Nah, this ain't going to happen to you. Jesus rebuked the spirit. He said, Satan, get behind me. He had just changed his name from, he said, your name won't be Peter anymore, but it'd be Peter. He had just changed his name and everything, but when he starts speaking against, he knew the spirit in which he was talking to. He said, wait a minute, hold up. He said, Satan, get thee behind me.
Amen.
So we got to know whom we are talking to.
Well, Mary, we've only got a few minutes left. I absolutely have enjoyed having you as a guest today. In fact, I'm going to ask you right now on the air to come back again, so we can All right. Well, I'll let you know when we can do that again, because it's just been a privilege to have you here. As we get closer to closing, I always like to do this, and that is, if you're out there listening right now and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, it's not hard to get to know him. It really isn't. All you have to do is say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Prove to me that you're real. Come into my life. And he'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not putting God in a box. I'm just telling you, if you ask him, he will come into your life, and your life as you know it will change. And your eternal destination will change the moment you ask him in. So, friend, take a moment and say, Lord, come into my life. I want to know you. And he'll do it. I promise you that. He did it for me. He did it for Mary. He did it for many other people who are listening right now. And he'll do it for you. Because time is getting short. And now, today, is the day for salvation. Again, Mary, I thank you.
God bless you,
God bless you. I will tell her you said, I love you to life.
I love you to life.
You are an awesome person. I thank God that our paths crossed those many years ago. And you are a very special person. And I thank God for you.
Amen.
And I thank you for the show today.
Thank you.
I also want to thank Reverend Stan Schill, who founded this program and was kind enough to let me be the host of it. Thank you, Rev.
Thank you, Reverend Stan.
And I want to let people know that there is a Facebook page at the end of the show. My wife will tell you about that. That if you want to donate to help keep us on the air, I don't like asking for money, but in this world, everything takes money. So prayerfully consider helping us out. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you. God bless you, my friend, Dr. Mary Prince. Thank
God
you so
bless
very,
you,
very
my
much.
Brother and my sister. God bless you.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.